Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. With these words, Mark begins his gospel as he lays out the ministry of Jesus Christ, who came preaching good news. And it's a story that we have been exploring together on Sunday morning. Today we are in the sixth chapter of Mark's gospel. We read early in the gospel that Jesus has sent out his 12 disciples two by two. They have gone healing and they have gone casting out demons and they have gone preaching the good news. And we're going to pick up the story in verse 30 of chapter 6, where the disciples return to Jesus with a report of their short-term mission trip. The passage that I'm going to read from Mark chapter 6 is on the back page of your bulletin. I invite you to follow along there. Again, verse 30, for those of you at home, maybe you have your own Bible and you'd like to follow along. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by a boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowd away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them." "With what?" they asked. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." "How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to his disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. So we're told that the disciples return from their ministry trip to Jesus, and they're pretty tired, exhilarated, but tired from their trip. And there's a lot going on around Jesus all the time during this part of his ministry. Lots of people demanding lots of different things. In fact, they were so busy, they didn't even have time to eat. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he said, "You know, it'd be really good if we could just get away and have a little retreat. Just the 13 of us. Let's go and get some rest." And so Mark tells us that they got in a boat and they were going along the shore of Galilee to go to another place, but people saw what was going on and they ran ahead and they were there waiting for them when the boat once again reached shore. And as Jesus steps from the boat, Mark says that he saw all of these people who were there waiting for him, and he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them not simply because they were needy, but Mark says because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, when Mark uses that phrase, sheep without a shepherd, he's not merely being poetic or trying to paint some kind of a picture. He actually wants us to think about the way in which the Bible uses the image of a shepherd to describe the proper response of Israel's leaders towards the people of Israel. We see this especially in the Old Testament. For example, Moses, after he's been with the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness, they're getting ready to enter the promised land. Moses knows, because God has told him, that he is going to die before the people enter the promised land. And he has been their leader for their entire lives. Most of the people who left Egypt with Moses have now died. So the people who are getting ready to enter the promised land, Moses is the only leader they've ever known. And he prays there in the Old Testament scriptures. And he prays that God would appoint a new shepherd. That's the term that Moses used. So that these people of God would not be without a shepherd as Moses dies, but they need someone to lead them into the promised land. And God's answer in the Old Testament is Joshua. Joshua becomes the leader. He becomes the new shepherd. Another example in the Old Testament is later the prophet Ezekiel. Now, by then, Israel has had many kings, but Ezekiel looks at the kings of Israel and he says, they are false shepherds. See, the kings of Israel are supposed to care for the people. They're supposed to nourish the people, protect the people, like a shepherd does for his flock of sheep. But these kings have not. They have been, if you will, fleecing the sheep rather than caring for the sheep. And so Ezekiel, around chapter 35 of his writings, he talks to the kings and he warns them and says, if you don't change, God is going to take away your leadership role because you're not being a good shepherd. But then Ezekiel also envisions a day that will come, a day where God himself will shepherd his sheep. No longer will he use people like the kings or even people like Moses and Joshua. He will bring about, Ezekiel tells us, a descendant of David. And here he's pointing to the Messiah. And the Messiah, this one, will be God himself shepherding his sheep, his people, through this person, the Messiah. And so enter Jesus Christ, the one who refers to himself, for example, in John chapter 10, as the good shepherd. He is the answer to Ezekiel's prophecy. He is the one, the descendant of David, the one that God is sending, the Son of God, the Messiah, who will shepherd his sheep, who will bring us what we need, who will help us, who will care for us, who, as Mark says, has compassion upon us, for he has a shepherd's heart. A shepherd's heart looks out upon the crowd and he sees their need. He sees the need of their soul as well as the need of their physical body. And we're told in this passage that he teaches them many things as he nourishes their soul, and later he feeds them as he nourishes their physical body. This is the shepherd who knows his sheep. And this is the shepherd who cares for them. He knows everything there is to know about them. He knows about their foolishness. He knows about their lostness. He knows about all the silly things that they do. He knows about how apt they are to wander away and live their own life and do their own thing. And yet, He cares for them. Are there times in your life, are there times in my life that I wonder whether anybody truly, deeply cares for me? Not because I don't have people in my life to whom I'm important and who reach out to me and who seek to love me, but because they don't truly and fully understand me. In order for me completely to be cared for, it must be by someone who knows everything there is to know about me, who knows my needs, who understands my foibles, and who is willing still to be there for me. That's a lot to ask of another human being. In fact, I think it would be impossible to ask that because I don't understand myself fully. So how can I expect anybody else to do so? And yet I find there is something missing. No matter how much someone seeks to care for me, they don't always hit the nail on the head. They don't reach every part of who I am. There are things that are being left out. And perhaps I try to fill those areas myself. I try to care for myself. I try to take care of those things that other people don't know about me or don't see in me, or even if they do, they ignore them or they go a different way. But I try to be my own shepherd, if you will, and I find myself unable to do so. See, the good shepherd has a shepherd's heart, and because he is the Son of God, he knows me intimately. Again, John chapter 10, I know my sheep. That doesn't just mean he goes, oh, yeah, I know that sheep, that's Steve over there, and oh, I know Phil, and no, he knows me. He knows everything there is about me, and he cares for me. And he loves me as I am, and as the good shepherd, he says, come and be with me so I can teach you and I can feed you. You are in my heart, says Jesus to me as his sheep. Now the disciples are very much like you and me. The disciples look around at other people. The disciples even look at themselves, although they're not necessarily doing that in this story, but I'm sure they did at times. And they see problems. You and I see problems. We may not know every little need that other people have, but we certainly can identify the problem about that person, and oftentimes we're really good at identifying the problems about ourselves. So the disciples look at the situation. They look at all these lost sheep that are gathered there, demanding all kinds of things of Jesus, bleating, if you will, their troubles and their concerns and their needs, and they go, hey, this isn't good. First, they say, this is a remote place. This is a remote place. There's nothing much here that we can use. There's nothing much here that lost sheep can take advantage of. There isn't much here at all. It's a remote place. Secondly, it's late in the day. You know, it's getting late and people are getting hungry, and see problem number one, there's not much here to help with the situation. So we have a problem here, say the disciples. And so they decide to go to Jesus just in case that he's been so busy teaching and caring for people that he's not paying attention to the realities of the situation. Say, oh, Jesus, in case you didn't notice, it is like really remote here. It's getting really late in the day. We have a problem. And what does Jesus do in response? Well, he adds one more problem. He looks to them and he says, okay, you feed them. You take care of it. Well, They have very little resources. How far are 5 loaves and 2 fish going to go to feed 5,000 men and their families? Well, it's a drop in the bucket. It is completely impossible. It is hopeless. I'm sure the disciples are looking at each other and thinking, well, Jesus just asked us to do something. You feed them. You take care of the problem. But all that does is just heap one more problem upon us because we can't do anything about it. We have neither enough money, and even if we had enough money, there's no grocery store that we can go to and shop for all these people. It's impossible. It is hopeless. And so they say to Jesus, we have a solution to these problems, Jesus. We just need to send everyone away. You know, it's been a good afternoon. You've had some good teaching with these people. You showed that you cared about the people, but now we've come up against something, Jesus, and you just need to ask the people to go home. And then maybe reading between the lines, and we can finally get on to our retreat, right? You remember that at the beginning. And get something to eat, because I'm sure the disciples are hungry like everybody else. And oftentimes in our lives, when we understand that Jesus Christ invites us into a relationship with Him and indeed invites us into what He calls the kingdom of God, where we can live and where we can grow and where we can experience what a true relationship with our Heavenly Father is all about. We hear the invitation and we look around and we look at ourselves and say, well, Jesus, there's a problem. Indeed, there are several problems with me joining you in your kingdom. The first problem about me, Jesus, is I'm pretty remote from what it must be like to be in your kingdom. I mean, I do look at people who look pretty spiritual and have it pretty much together. People who have been kind of with you and around you for a long time. But me, I'm kind of remote from all of that. I'm pretty distant from the kind of person that I think you're looking for. I'm, my life is not at all like the lives of people who live your way. Jesus, are you aware of how much I've sinned in my life? And do you know about some of the things that I still have a really hard time giving up? I mean, I try really hard, but there are some deep things in me, Jesus. I don't know if you are aware of them. I don't even know if I understand them that well, but I'm certainly not the kind of person that is a candidate for your kingdom. I'm just too far away. Besides that, Jesus, it's kind of late in the day in my life. Not necessarily in terms of age, but I'm pretty established in who I am. I have certain habits. I have certain things that I like. There's certain things about me that I just don't think can change, and I have a pretty good idea that if I'm going to join you in that kingdom that you keep inviting me into, I'm going to have to change some things, and I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can honestly be different from the kind of person that I am. It's kind of late in the day, isn't it, Jesus, to grab me now and bring me into your kingdom. And thirdly, Jesus, you know, I really have very little to offer. I mean, I don't know why you'd want someone like me anyway. We got 5,000 people and their families who need to be fed, and I only have 5 loaves and 2 fish to contribute to the project. Truly, that isn't hardly even worth your time or effort to spend with me. I have very little to be able to offer. There's very little in my life that I think you can really use in your kingdom. And so, Jesus, I take a look at myself, and I know there's this invitation that the gospel talks about, an invitation to a relationship with you, but even more so, an invitation to spend the rest of my life in your kingdom, and I just don't see it. In fact, it seems to me, Jesus, that the logical thing for you to do when it comes to me is just kind of send me away. I mean, you don't have to be mean about it. You don't have to be harsh. But the reality is that I'm pretty remote from at least the kind of person I think you would want me to be. It'll be very, very hard. In fact, I think impossible for me to change, and I have very little to offer. So you probably are just going to want to send me away. See, what Jesus does is that he looks upon you and he looks upon me in our lostness, our incompleteness. He understands very well how far distant we are from the ideal of the kingdom of God. And yet he invites us into a relationship with him, and he said, "Let me teach you and let me feed you. Let me work with you in my kingdom. I know if you come into my kingdom, you're not going to come perfect. I know all about your remoteness. I know all about your lateness. I know all about your just the little bit that you might have to offer the kingdom of God. But let me teach you many things. Are you willing to hear what I have to say in response? Because you're not a problem to me. You are an opportunity. You're not a sheep that I'm going to send away. You're a sheep that I want to gather and include in my flock. Are you willing to have a seat on the green grass? And let me teach you. Let me teach you that you are not too remote from the kingdom of God. Yes, you're not going to be able to get yourself there, but your heavenly Father has devised a way by which no matter how deep your sin is, no matter how far away that you think you are, through forgiveness that comes through me, says the shepherd, that remoteness is immediately brought near, immediately overcome. And it's at all no problem for the Father. Perhaps, though, you need to learn. You need to hear from me. You need to trust that in Him it'll be no problem for you either. So I can deal with your remoteness. And as to your lateness, as to you believing that you really can't change and become more the kind of person that I'm calling you to be in my kingdom, if you are willing to enter into relationship with me, I have something to offer you. I have something to give you, because I'm not expecting you to change on your own. I know you too well. I know you're not going to be able to do it. In fact, in many ways, you don't really even want to do it. I'm okay with that, says Jesus, because I have something. My Holy Spirit will come to live in you. And my Holy Spirit will be the change agent that will help you and strengthen you and confront you when it is necessary and convict you when you are in sin rather than living in my kingdom. And He will bring you along. He will teach you. He will comfort you. He will guide you. No, I'm not expecting you to change now that you're late in life, so to speak. But the Holy Spirit will be the power by which you can be changed. Allow me to be the transforming agent in your life through my Spirit. Do you trust me that I can, by my Holy Spirit, change you to be more and more the kind of person that I am calling you to be in my kingdom? And as for what little you have to offer, I know that. I am fully aware of that, but I don't need you in my kingdom because there's something I need. I don't need what you're bringing. I need you. And whatever you bring, be it only 5 loaves and 2 fish, hardly anything when compared with all the ministry that needs to take place, know this. Learn from the story. Learn from the miracle. I can take whatever you offer and I can multiply it, and I will use it for my purposes in my kingdom, and you get to be a part of it. You get to go out and feed people. You get to go out and help people sit down in groups or 50 over 100 so they can be fed. You get to be there and see the results of miraculous ministry. I can use whatever you bring, but trust me that I am the one who is doing the work, and you get to do that work right alongside me. No, there is nothing that commends you or me to be able to live in the kingdom of God and to be able to live the kind of abundant life that God offers. A new life, a new purpose, a new reality. We have nothing to commend ourselves, but we have one who commends us. He is our shepherd, and his shepherd heart looks upon us, and he has compassion upon us, and he says, bring me your problems, bring me your hurdles, tell me all the ways in which you cannot belong to me, and I will teach you, and I will feed you with my word. And if you're willing to listen, and if you're willing to let me have the little that you have, and I'll agree with you, it's not much, but if you're willing to let me have it and work with it, that is all that is necessary for you to live your life with me. All we have to do is offer what we have. We offer our lives to Jesus Christ. Messed up as they are, remote and late, and hardly worthy of consideration based on what we actually have. We offer whatever it is. And the promise is that he will use it to his glory and his purpose. And as he uses it, we will have a shepherd in our life. We will have a leader who will continue to teach us, who will continue to feed us. We will have a shepherd who invites us to sit with him. He leads us beside quiet waters. He makes us lie down in green pastures. We will never again want for anything. He restores our souls. In ourselves, we cannot do this. If we look for other shepherds in the world, they are not going to be able to accomplish it. And oh, so many of us have tried to do that. And so many out there are doing that right now, this morning. But the offer of God's word today is this: let me be your shepherd. I am here to give you life and to give you life abundantly. If you're willing to offer me your life, I will return it to you with a newness and a brilliance and a sense of purpose and an aliveness that is like anything that you've ever experienced before, but you have to trust me. Jesus says, I can't use you if you're unwilling to offer yourself to me. But if you do, we are going to have an amazing time together in the kingdom of God as I continue to teach you, as I continue to feed you, as I continue to shepherd you, because I love you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, this story of a miracle comes to us today, and it is a pretty amazing miracle. But Lord, even more amazing is what the miracle teaches us about your view of us, and oftentimes, like the disciples, our view of ourselves and what goes on in the world around us. We recognize problems, we recognize shortcomings, and we have, for some reason, and I think this is the devil trying to whisper these words to us, that we're inadequate, that we're not enough, that we are too far away from the kingdom, that we are too unable to change and become what Jesus wants us to be, that we have so little to offer. Why would Jesus want to bother with me? Why would Jesus want to take me on as a project? And is that something that I even want myself? Well, we have to answer that question for ourselves. Jesus is not going to press it. Jesus is not going to pull us kicking and screaming into his kingdom. He invites us. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and have fellowship with that person, and that person will have fellowship with me. But we can keep the door closed. We can make excuses. We can say we want nothing to do with this Jesus. Or we can play around with it a little bit. We can believe just enough and hope that we make it to heaven one day. But as far as living in the kingdom of God in this world, no, that's not what I want. But Heavenly Father, if your word has drawn us to yourself, if this story of Jesus as our shepherd appeals to us, if this is what we want for ourselves, a leader who loves us and who knows us and who cares for us, even in the places where we hardly know ourselves and maybe have little care for ourselves, then He is the one to whom we can offer ourselves today. And He promises to do for us all that He did for this group of people some 2,000 years ago. He will continue to teach us, and He will continue to feed us as we live our lives in this world with Him as our shepherd. Lord, may this be true of each one of us. May we offer ourselves to You, knowing that You will accept us as we are, and You will take us, and You will grow us, and by Your Holy Spirit, You will begin to slowly transform us so that we become more and more like You. Father, may this be so today for each one of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.